Look at this picture. 7,000. Look at that. Six pallets showed up today. Six pallets. 7,000 copies of my book, Marxianity, showed up today. Finally. Finally. You guys will know that my book, Marxianity, I wrote 300 pages. Is that what this book is? 300 and some odd pages? Let me look, see how many it is. Yeah, it is 336 pages. 336 pages, Marxianity. Came out in November 2018. Can't believe it's been that long already. How the evangelical deep state and their useful idiots are merging, and useful idiots is a historical term, are merging Marxism and Christianity through social justice, white privilege, cultural Marxism, illegal immigration, interfaith dialogue, and more. Tom Littleton, who was on with me the other night, told me the other day on the phone, Brandon, your book Marxianity is more relevant now than it was when you wrote it. I'm like, yeah, it really is. It's on how the evangelicals, the so-called evangelicals, the Protestants, I know the Catholics have done it with a division within their own denomination, social justice, liberation theology, but I'm writing about how this is being done within the Protestant evangelical world, Marxianity, Marxism and Christianity merging, and it's getting horrible. And so this came out November 2018. And after we sold out of the first printing last summer, I said, hey, you know what? Let's reprint that book because some people were asking. I wasn't going to reprint it. I was just going to let people get with an ebook because our guys are too busy. Some of the people that work for us are so busy filling freeze-dried food orders, they don't need one more thing to fill. But so many people were asking for it back in paperback. So I said, fine, but only if we print it and make it available, not for $20, but for $4.99. So that we can put out as many as we can and educate people. So we did, and we blew through 7,000 copies in 4 weeks. We actually had been saying 5,000 copies, but I was reminded by my wife, but you got about 2,000 copies of people still waiting on their order. Oh, wow, I didn't think about that. So we actually blew through about 7,000 copies of the book in 4 weeks. 5,000 we were able to fill because we ordered 5,000 copies. The other 2,000, the label's been printed and sitting and waiting, and I apologize for that. We went to order up some right away with the supply chain issue. They're like, that'll be about 3 months or so. And sure enough, it was with the paper supply chain issue. They arrived today. They've already started being packed up immediately today. So again, if you want to get your copy of this 336-page book, it's now back in print while supplies last. Chapter 1, The Dialectical Deception. 2, Progressive Church. The next chapter, A Church for Nonbelievers and Social Warriors, Social Justice Warriors, The Interfaith Marxist Agenda, Churches as Social Service Centers, The Three-Legged Stool in Cultural Marxism, Evangelical Cultural Marxism and the LGBTQ Victim Coalition, Enmeshed with Muslims and Marxists, the Red-Green Axis, White Privilege Propaganda, Liberalism, Common Problems, and the Non-Church, Libertarianism. Libertarianism, Common Problems and the Non-Church Church, Neo-Calvinist and Neo-Marxist, the Neo-Marxist Race-Baiting Agenda, Not What You Think, the Real Worldview of Martin Luther King Jr. Sorry, folks, history is what it is. The dude was promoting nationalizing oil, water, a new kind of capitalism. It's all footnoted and documented. Even the liberals are mad that people are making him into some kind of moderate. They're like, you know, they're mad because they're like, he wasn't a moderate. He was a radical. Well, I've documented in the book, Not What You Think, the Real Worldview of Martin Luther King Jr. And then the Emergent Church Repackaged and then a Coalition of Victims. These are the chapters. You can get a copy for $4.99 at wvwtv.com/store. By the time I pay the kids to pack it up and send it out, it's not about making money. We're doing good to break even. It's about getting out the information. So if you want it, 7,000 copies came in today. wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. Marxianity, 7,000 copies now delivered. All right, take a look at your screen. Well, first of all, wait a minute, let me show you this. All right, so here's a stack of books. Here's a stack of books written by a friend of mine, Dennis Cuddy. You think they're flagged up enough? I've had these books for a long time. Some of these books are out of print. I think I heard one of them was going for like $500 online. But anyway, Dennis Cuddy. Dennis Cuddy is a researcher extraordinaire, and he collects timelines of many things, mostly the globalists and the New World Order. And he's got great quotes. So I was going through, I like to go through these because sometimes as I go through these books, at the moment I'm going through them, nothing really jumps out at me. And then when I go through them and I see a quote from 1800 something, early 1900s, I'm like, wait a minute, that's what's going on right now. So I love going through these historical books. And so today I was going through some of them, and he mentions in his chronological timeline that a guy by the name of Senator Joe Biden wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal, April 23rd, 1992. Do you know what the article was called? Hey, Delta, what are you doing over here? Do you know what the article was called? Here it is. How I Learned to Love the New World Order. How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Isn't that something? Let's read some of it. Why, let's go to the bottom of the one on the far left. Why doesn't the journal stop the name calling and get its schools sorted out and support an honest debate over America's proper role in the New World Order? Huh. Look at the big print. Rather than denigrating collective security, we should regularize the kind of multilateral response we assembled for the Gulf War. Why not breathe life into the UN Charter? Of course, the United Nations Charter, the UN Charter, folks. You know what that does? That basically sets up world government. Go read it. Go read it. So here is Joe Biden, which I highly doubt he wrote this because I think Joe is dumb as a box of rocks. I really do. I hear there's an audio out tonight, Logan. I hear there's an audio out of the Secret Service. I wonder how that got out. But I hear there's an audio out tonight of the Secret Service talking about Joe Biden getting lost at the White House. Have you heard that, Logan? Oh, you think it's a joke? Oh, it's a joke. I was hoping it was true. Doggone it. Oh, crud. I was hoping it was true. But although maybe I don't, because it'd be kind of scary if people are tapping into the Secret Service audio. How's that happening? All right. Well, the dude still, I think, is out of his mind. I don't think we have to have any videos or audio to affirm that. So How I Learned to Love the New World Order by Joe Biden. Look at that again. April 23rd, 1992, Wall Street Journal. What's he doing, folks? Everything he's doing right now is pushing the New World Order, right? World Economic Forum. Look at this. This is also from my friend Dennis Cuddy. I was reading through his book, and I saw this, and so I went and thought, well, I wonder if Dennis wrote an article on that. Sure enough, back in 2004, Dennis wrote this. Mental health, education, and social control. I thought, what? That sounds like today. But this was an article written in 2004. In addition to Tavistock smart cards being, quote, passports to employment, end quote, Americans will also have health passports. Federal and state agencies, as well as others, including Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, mentioned in earlier parts of this series, have already sponsored the Health Passport Project, piloted in Nevada, Wyoming, and North Dakota. The project included health passport smart cards, which can be used at any participating clinic, doctor's office, or grocery store. In announcing the project, the Western Governors Association Publications Office in 1998 stated that, quote, the health passport smart card will provide portable computing capability and will ensure convergence with financial and retail industry plans for a universal transition to smart cards by the year 2000. Well, they got a little behind. The big picture, network services are providing a foundation for improved governance in healthcare, education, public assistance, criminal justice, and other spheres of public and private endeavor. The health passport is an important component of broader strategies to develop such networks, end quote. But notice what they state, that it's about also convergence with financial and retail industry plans. Now, I went and I thought, well, I wonder if there's any more on that. So I went and I looked up, search engine, the Western Governors Association and this publication, see if I can find it. Sure enough, look what I found. Look what I found tonight. The Health Passport Project, Assessment and Recommendations. Now, this one was written in December 2001. What did it say at the very bottom? This report was prepared for the Western Governors Association with federal and private funding. Views expressed are those of authors and should not be attributed to the Western Governors Association, the funders of this project. Okay, well, they funded it, but don't be attributed to being that they agree with it, but they funded it. The funders of this project, Maximus or toward the Urban Institute, its trustees, or its funders. Here we go. Health Passport Executive Summary. The Health Passport Project, HPP, is an initiative sponsored by the Western Governors Association. But don't think they might not, but don't assume they agree with it. It was sponsored by them, but don't assume they agree with it. And conducted in Bismarck, North Dakota. Nice town, I've been there. Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Reno, Nevada. HPP provides a versatile, multi-purpose electronic card to streamline access to and deliver a variety of public and private services and benefits. Why am I showing you this? To show you that this has been underway for a long time, this idea of health cards, health passports, COVID passports. Look, folks, this has all been underway for a long time. Digital economy, hang in there. The World Economic Forum is pushing this. Here it is, right out of the World Economic Forum. This is just from their report, folks. This is their report. This is a screenshot. And what do they want? A digital identity. And I've showed you this weeks ago to open a bank account, carry out online financial transactions. You better have a digital identity. Travel to book trips, to go through border control between countries or regions. You better have a digital identity. E-commerce to shop, to conduct business transactions and secure payments. You're going to have a digital identity. Social platform for social interactions to access third-party services that rely on social media logins. Better have a digital identity. And then look at this one, e-government, for citizens to access and use services, file taxes, vote, collect benefits. Wait a minute. You got to have a digital identity to vote? Oh, yeah. So they're planning on computerizing this even more, folks. Wait a minute. You got to have a digital identity to collect benefits? So I don't think I'm ever going to see Social Security, but if I live long enough to see it and it's actually around, but I don't think even if I'm around it will be, it'll be bankrupt. I got to have a digital identity to get my Social Security check that I paid in, and boy, howdy, have I paid in a lot. Submit to the mark of the beast, house, or no benefits. Or file my taxes? Well, what if I don't file my taxes? You go to jail. Wait a minute. I can't file my taxes without getting this? I don't know. I'm just reading what's on the screen. But this idea of going back to this, the health passport written about in 2004 from this document in 2001 from the Western Governors Association. But look, we've been moving for this away a while. Look at this. This is from Time Magazine. Time Magazine. Back in 1998, April 27th, 1998, Time Magazine. Look at that headline on the cover. The Future of Money. The Future of Money. And it's got like a card on the front cover with your picture, the guy's picture. It looks like a little hologram or something. The Future of Money. So I went and looked that up because I saw that in one of the timelines by Cuddy. And sure enough, I found it. The Big Bank Theory. Now, remember, this is 98. I'm just showing you that this has been underway by the power elite for a while. And what is and the Big Bank Theory and what it says about the future of money? Paper money is, in its way, amazing stuff. It is, for instance, easily transferable, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. Let's go to the bottom. Enter electronic cash. The idea of digital money is simple enough. Instead of storing value on paper, find a way to wrap it in a string of digits that's more portable and, most important, smarter than its paper counterpart. Smart money? Well, yes, because digital cash is endlessly mutable. You can control it much more precisely than paper money. That's right. You can control it because, folks, that's what it's about, control. Think about the $2,000 check you send to your daughter at college for expenses. How is that money really spent? Books or beer? Electronic cash takes that relatively simple transaction, passing an allowance and makes it into a much more intelligent process, and one that hardly requires something as old-fashioned as a bank. For starters, you can send the money over the internet encoded in an email instead of sending a check. This saves you trouble. Of course, this is, again, written in 1998. So again, hello, we have PayPal and all this other garbage now. This saves you the trouble of balancing the checkbook at the end of the month. And it gives you the option of transferring the money from wherever you want, mutual fund, money market, even old-fashioned checking account. Listen to this. Your daughter can store the money any way she wants. On her laptop, on a debit card, even in the not-too-distant future, on a chip implanted under her skin. You're thinking, wait a minute. Some of you are not paying attention to the screen. Really, I'm seriously. Some of you are not paying attention to the screen, and you just looked at the screen to see if House was joking with you. No, put it back up. House is not joking. Time Magazine in 1998. Put it back up, guys. House in 1998. Time Magazine in 1998 really said that. Go look it up. I found it online today. And perhaps best of all, you can program the money to be spent only in the specific ways you want. But look again. Not in the too distant future, on a chip implanted under your daughter's skin. Under her skin! Yeah, can you say Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13? Hello? But listen to this. And perhaps best of all, you can program the money to be spent only in specific ways. Oh yeah, let's pitch it so that the parent can say, no, only for books, not beer. Maybe just a little bit at the local pub, but maybe only like $50 a month. Yeah, but if you can program it, can't the government program it to say you can't spend your money on conservative Christian websites? Sorry, can't spend your money over at Brandon's store, wvwtv.com/store. Sorry, you can't spend it at mypillow.com. Sorry, you guys are now going to be taxed, your carbon tax, right off the chute because you're buying things that are environmentally harmful. Or you can't buy certain things at all. Oh, you've already had your quota of meat, or you can't have any meat. Or maybe they'll just start with giving you a quota. I mean, this is how it, or we need to have, basically, we're going to corral you into one area. All you right-wingers, we don't want to waste money on jails and everything, but we're going to take you like the Jews and put you in some ghettos. We'll just basically say, you got to live here. And, oh, by the way, we don't need fences or anything, because if you go outside that, your cards aren't going to work. So you might want to just stay right where you're at. Not to mention, if you go beyond where we tell you and we know, oh, maybe we'll have to do something more harsh. But live within this little circle, go shopping, do whatever you want, have a nice life, just don't come out. And if you go out, your chip's not going to work. You might instruct some of the digits to go for books, some for food, and some for movies. Here we go, guys. Unless you pass along a few digits that can be cashed at the local pub, she'll have to find someone else to buy the drinks. Smart digital cash may also address some of the other problems of paper. Let me go on from there. Well, that's just one of the things I had for you tonight. What else do I got for you tonight? Let's see. I brought a lot of documents on the desk tonight because I wanted to share one or two things with you here. One of them is preventing a disrupted presidential election. The Transition Integrity Project. Now, I want to remind you guys, we went through this August of 2020. August of 2020, we went through this document, and you know what? Everything that pretty much happened, they ran a scenario for, and they did it. It's shocking to go back and read these old documents before the election. This was in August of 2020, and we went through it on the air here. The Transition Integrity Project. And the things they said were going to happen and how they would handle them, they did exactly what they said they were going to do. What else do I have here? Oh, look, here's one I wanted to share with you. This, again, I've shared these before, but I got to keep reminding you because there's so much. Secular Democrats of America, what they're going to do if Joe Biden wins the White House. Secular Democrats of America, one of the things they're going to do is they want people to stop saying, "In God we trust." They want people to stop saying, "In God we trust." Now, this was put out by a bunch of radical Marxists, in my opinion. Some of them literally are. Representative Stephen Cohen, I mean, a bunch of members of Congress, Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, Rashida Tlaib, the one that danced around with the Palestinian flag the night she won her primary. But one of the things that it's calling for, folks, it's calling for the Department of Justice and the Department, I know, oh, they want you to quit using the phrase Judeo-Christian, and they want to quit using the phrase "In God We Trust." The rise of white Christian nationalism, that just means you're white and you're for borders, is a national security threat. So here we have, again, I warned you about this when it came out in the summer of 2020. What's a threat? Christians that are for our borders. We recommend you encourage, this is what they want Biden to do if he wins. We want you to encourage the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, to dedicate resources to de-radicalization programs aimed at hate groups, including but not limited to white nationalists, increase monitoring of such groups, including the online environment, and take action to address increased hate crimes toward minority faith communities and shift rhetoric to label violent white nationalist extremists as terrorists. Okay, what that means is if you're a Christian or you're a conservative, I'm not talking about your real neo-Nazi whiteheads or skinheads. They're labeling Christians, patriotic, constitutionalists, people who want borders, that you're dangerous, and we want the Department of Homeland Security to label them as such. Well, guess what happened? Biden got in, and they did it. The National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. Okay? I pulled this out of my file today. This came out June of 2021. They got another one that came out the other day. What am I telling you? The things that these radical Democrats talked about, whether it was and the Rhino Republicans, whether it was the Transition Integrity Project that I went through with you in August of 2020, or the Secular Democrats of America saying if Biden wins, this is what we're going to do, they're doing it. Guess what else they said in here they were going to do? They're going to have the government decide who is a church and who's not a church. The government is going to decide who is a church and who is not a church and take away their nonprofit. Instruct the IRS to enforce the Johnson Amendment as the law of one component of the broader set of campaign finance measures that will need to be strengthened. So churches can't speak about issues. That's political. You're being political. And then crack down on nonprofits operating as a business, including megachurches, and work with Congress to pass legislation that would strengthen the enforcement of the Johnson Amendment and increase transparency among nonprofits by requiring all 501c3 nonprofits to file Form 990, including houses of worship. Right now, a house of worship, a church, doesn't have to file a 990. They want to bring in the Gestapo and find out what your pastor is saying and doing and preaching and decide if these churches, including megachurches, are really churches. Or are they really a business? Well, that's interesting. Maybe we should decide if some of these members of Congress are really subversive insurrectionists that should be put on trial and imprisoned or maybe capital punishment if they're found guilty by a jury of their peers for subversion and treason. I mean, you got two people can play this game. But my friends, what I'm trying to warn you is the things I told you in the summer of 2020 with the documents I went through, they're now here. And we went back and we saw from some documents from Time Magazine, as well as from Joe Biden, right there, look at that one, How I Learned to Love the New World Order, Joe Biden, Wall Street Journal, April 23rd, 1992. I hope you'll support what we're doing. Don't forget to visit my bookstore. You'll find my freeze-dried food and Marxianity there, wvwtv.com/store. Thanks for watching. Take care.